Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us for a very, very special edition of Texas Scorecard TV. I'm Brandon Waltons, the managing editor of Texas Scorecard. And today we're joined by a special guest. We've got Chad Prather, the host of the Chad Prather Show on The Blaze, and a candidate for Texas Governor. Chad, thank you for joining us this morning.
Hey, it's good to be with you.
Yeah, so a few weeks ago, I guess we'll kick this off, get right into it. A few weeks ago, you announced on Twitter that you were running for governor of Texas in 2022. And I think the response at the time from a lot of people was, is this guy serious? So first question, are you serious?
Yeah, we're serious. It was one of those situations where as a reluctant person when it comes to, I talk about politics a lot, but to actually participate in them as a candidate is something that I said I would never do. But, you know, you get that proverbial straw that breaks the camel's back. And I kind of had that moment of epiphany where I said, it's time to put my money where my mouth is. And if nothing else, let's start the conversation and get this thing going and see if we can stir some things up. If you're going to do it, why not start at the top in the state of Texas? So that's what we did. We made an announcement on social media. It was, I want to say it was July the 2nd we did that. But that's what happens when you're hanging around with Don Trump Jr. and having an extra glass of wine. You wind up in a gubernatorial race for 2022.
Is that what happens? I had no idea.
Yeah, pretty much. We were in South Dakota for the Mount Rushmore event on the 3rd of July. The president was there, of course, and we were there for that. I was in 2 days early for some other events. Mm-hmm. And that's when it happens. You know, I'm even when I'm on the road and I'm in about 100, 125 cities a year, even when I'm on the road, Texas is still home for me. It's still in my heart. And it's to me, it's the center of the universe. I always tell people, I said, you know, I'm 47 years old. I moved to Fort Worth 20 years ago. And for me, I always had a sense of homesickness everywhere I went until I came to Texas. And when I came to Texas, I suddenly felt like everything was at peace for me. So yeah, I'm well aware of what's going on in Texas. I'm well aware with what's going on with the people of Texas, the businesses of Texas. And so even though I was in South Dakota for this major event in one of the most beautiful places in the country there at the Custer National Park, my heart was kind of heavy with what's going on in Texas, and I made that decision, and I meant it. It's one of those things that you just know when you know it's time to do something about this. And so what do? These days, we immediately put it on social media and make our
watch. Well, that's how you announce it, right? It's 2020. That's 2020. Right. That's you make a tweet about it.
Well, you tell the world, and then your wife calls.
So you had not had the discussion with her before.
It was very slight. It wasn't enough. But yeah, anyway, she's on board.
So a lot of the impetus then, you know, you've got the statewide face mask mandate and a lot of these coronavirus things that were the impetus for this run. If you were governor right now, what would your response to the coronavirus look like?
Well, I would look at the numbers. What we're seeing is a huge boost in a spike in the numbers, particularly around the border. Which has its own reasons and causations there, but to penalize people and take away personal liberty and their own personal sense of responsibility is just simply not it's not constitutional, and it's just not Texas. Someone said recently, and I really like this. They said Texas isn't the Texas that most Texans think it is right now. And what we're seeing is a migration towards shades of blue. And that really is bothering me. Someone said to me the other day, they said, and I'll get immediately back to the question. Somebody said to me the other day, they said, what you really want to do is keep Texas red. And I said, that's absolutely what I want to do because I believe in conservative values, and conservative values are the only thing that's going to keep us free, keep us in embracing liberty. It's the only thing that's going to keep us prosperous and successful and give us an opportunity to grow. So whenever you have an intrusion of government into your life over something that has a 99% survival rate on it, I mean, if there was a bridge over a river with a 99.6% chance of keeping me alive and not falling down when I crossed it, I wouldn't swim. I would cross the bridge. And that's what we're seeing happening here. I understand that Governor Abbott probably has the best, well, let me back up on that. He probably wants to see people, he wants to see those numbers curve. He's got the best interest of those numbers at heart, but I don't think it's in the best interest of the Texas citizen. It's killing business. It's absolutely stopping livelihoods. It is raising the rates of all kind of negative things in this state. And to kind of follow suit with the rest of the country and the way those leaders are behaving and decisions that they're making is just not Texan. We lead this country. I mean, we lead this country. And as Texans, I think we have to stand tall. We have to keep our heads up, and we have to we determine what we do in this state. We don't take our our cues from Andrew Cuomo. We don't take them from Gavin Newsom. And as a Texan, it really disappointed me to see the decisions that he made. I say that people have the liberty. If they, if you want to wear a mask, right? Yeah. If you feel the need to wear a mask, if you have comorbidity, if you have a pre-existing condition, you have the right and the freedom to stay home. You have the right and the freedom to go out. You can do the things you want to do, because ultimately, at the end of the day, as an American and as a Texan, I've got personal liberty and I've got personal responsibility.
Well, absolutely. And on that, that same topic of liberty and responsibility, you know, there's obviously not only a lot of concern about face mask mandates and business closures out there, but we've seen, and you've taken some heat for this in the last few days, maybe you can maybe kind of clarify, mandatory vaccines as well in response to the coronavirus. Can you explain your position on vaccines or a potential coronavirus vaccine and making that mandatory?
Yeah, that's one of those things. I took heat on something that I didn't really know that there was a thing that I had said in the way that I said it. I guess, I don't know. I was doing a Facebook Live video. It's people question things. Maybe I didn't answer it as well as I could have, but I'm anti-mandatory anything, right? I just don't believe in mandates. And I'm saying that in terms of the things that need to be, you need to have responsibility for yourself. So I'm not for mandatory vaccines. And that goes for child vaccines, school vaccines, that goes for adult vaccines, whether it's flu or this COVID thing that we're discussing. God knows I'm not for that. But I also believe in personal exemptions. I believe that exemptions as they stand now, whether it's a conscientious objection or a religious exemption, whatever that may be, I support that. The point that I made that I think was confusing to people is I said, as long as we are consistent in giving our children's lives and minds over to the public school system as it stands now, without taking responsibility to educate our children as parents. See, it's one thing to say that I believe that parents have the ultimate decision when it comes to children. And I believe that when it comes to vaccines, when it comes to education, their health care, all the way across the board, I believe that the parent makes the decision, not the school, not the state. But what we're doing is acting in antithesis to that. So what we're doing is we're still farming our children out to a public school system, a public, and let me just use this term because I've when an indoctrination system, which is the public school system, that is by and large moving more and more towards a socialist worldview. We're farming that out. As long as you're willing to let the state teach your child, you're also ultimately by consequence going to allow the state to dictate to you what happens when it comes to their vaccinations and their health care. So they'll put a list out and say, unless your child has had this vaccination, you're not going to be able to go to school in our public school system. There was pushback on that statement, and people said, well, we're the taxpayers. We own the school system. I understand that. I appreciate the fact that we're taxpayers. But in my opinion, the only thing right now that taxpayers own is the tax bill. Because if you don't believe me, I just got a notification that said that here in Johnson County, where I live, that the schools aren't going to start back until August 31st. Now, I can't change that. I understand theoretically I should be able to, but the state dictates that, right? The county dictates that. The local ISD dictates that. I'm not in control at all in that regard. So as long as I'm allowing the state to have control, I can't expect the state to say, okay, well, we support your right to not vaccinate and all these things. Look, I personally support your right to not vaccinate, but I can't put that mandate on the state as well and say that they just have to throw away all the rules that they've been using. So it's kind of one of those, you know, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't situations when it comes to that. But no, I'm not mandatory for anything.
And kind of a little bit related, actually, but definitely related to coronavirus. We've seen in Texas that you had Governor Abbott, the Texas Department of State Health, signed this $300 million deal to bring contact tracing to Texas. And that brought a lot of concern for not just lawmakers, but citizens as well. What are your thoughts on contact tracing as a response to the coronavirus?
100% against it. Anything that gives more government overreach or expands government control or even their vision into our life, I'm totally against it. One of the biggest issues that I've had in recent years is just the expansive growth of government across the board. As conservatives, we're not conserving anything. And I know a lot of people who claim to be conservative and they talk a really good game. But if the government suddenly got smaller tomorrow, they wouldn't know what to do with themselves because they're so governmentally dependent on so many different things, from welfare to healthcare to food. I mean, it's all these things. And we call ourselves conservative, but we're not bringing it down to the government of the individual and the family and the local community. So anything that allows the state to look into my life, I'm not for it at all. I mean, I don't want drones flying around the property. I don't want people telling on me. I don't want Big Brother watching. I don't want Aldous Huxley's Brave New World to be adamantly true in my life as a reality. And so we're headed down not even a slippery slope. It is a sheer cliff at this point.
And so, we could talk about coronavirus issues, you know, all day. Putting those aside, what other issues, if you're governor, if you're elected in 2022, what other issues would be priorities for you? I've got questions from people watching live right now about, is he pro-life? Is he pro-constitutional carry? What would be priorities for you?
Well, on both of those things, I'm pro-life. So I was conceived in Dallas. That's why I claim to be a Texan, because life begins at conception, right? I always joke about Dallas, of course, being over in the Fort Worth area. We have that Fort Worth and Dallas rivalry. I don't think Dallas knows they're in the rivalry. I don't think they know there's a competition there. But I'm pro-life, very much so. The reason I am a conservative today and have been my entire life is not because of the need to be a part of a political party as much as it is I'm in the fight for those who don't have a voice. I believe in, as I said, life at conception, but I believe that we truly live in a country that has enjoyed the hand and blessing of God. And as long as we are sacrificing the lives of innocents in the unborn through abortion, which is a 97-98% form of convenient birth control, unfortunately, I just don't believe we can continue with the hand of God's blessing upon us. So I'm in a fight for that. And what was the other day?
Oh, constitutional carry. Yeah.
Yeah. I do agree with constitutional carry. There's some issues that are there. I had a conversation with somebody recently who they were bringing up various issues and everything they were describing was in fact not constitutional carry, or, you know, like we should still have fingerprints and certain. Look, mm-hmm. Here's the thing. I believe if you go through a strict background federally, go through a federal background check, then you are a gun owner. And as a gun owner, you're a gun possessor. You're a gun handler. You have a firearm and you have the right to that firearm. Shall not be infringed means shall not be infringed. And I believe that wholeheartedly. I get that, that there's some, that, you know, it always comes back to money, right? So that you, mm-hmm. there's certain things that people make a lot of money by us not being constitutional carry. I don't like seeing Oklahoma lead the charge and go a direction that Texas isn't doing. As I said earlier, I think we lead this country. As my friend Alan West said, hold Texas, hold the nation. So goes Texas, so goes the nation. You know, back in 2009, 2010, we were one of the last states to go into a recession. We were the first ones to come out of it. We lead by example. And I think when it comes to that, again, I go back to personal liberty, personal responsibility. I mean, we're Texans, by God, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we have a history, a legacy of of Western heritage in this state. We are expansion. We are growth. We were created and founded by people who carried firearms. I totally agree with the ability for you to be able to carry one today.
Mm-hmm. You kind of touched on this, but looking back on, you know, the past several years in Texas, Texas has been a red state. Republicans have held control of the state legislature that held the statewide offices for some time. And yet for the past several years, most of the priorities of the Republican Party of Texas, like constitutional carry, but also like a taxpayer-funded lobbying ban and some other issues, have yet to be passed into law. Why do you think that disconnect is there? And what would you do if you were governor to ensure that Republican priorities did indeed make it to the floor pass?
Well, one of the biggest things I think that's got to happen there is we've got to stop over-legislating everything. I mean, people are governed to death at this point. There's so many regulations, there's so many stipulations, so many boxes you've got to check at this point. And I think one of the reasons that we're seeing Texas is sort of a purple Texas right now, right? It's not quite migrated over to blue, but it's certainly not red. When we saw Tarrant County go to Robert Francis O'Rourke over Ted Cruz, the first time Tarrant County voted blue, I think, in its history. That's daunting. I mean, that is a scary fact. But I think if we can show people what liberty looks like and how freedom works, I think we can win people back, especially this younger generation, right? This younger generation that wants the reins off, that wants to be unbridled and wants to be able to live life. The idea of not only the American dream, but what I call the Texas dream, you know, where you can come here and you can dream big and nobody scoffs at you, right? So we've got to get rid of some of these things that are just over-legislating us. And, you know, my deal was I would want to look at the situation and say, okay, is this a necessary law? Is this a necessary thing that we need to do? Can we eliminate this line item here and let people go back to being free? Because I think that's what's causing the disconnect. People, they just throw up their hands and they say, well, I can't win. I can't win with this.
Mm-hmm. So like a lot of folks, you mentioned this at the beginning, but like a lot of folks, you're not from Texas. You're from New Jersey. I'm seeing some comments about some folks kind of razzing you for that. Do you think that hurts you in a potential race?
Well, if they know the truth, you know, again, as conservatives, and you believe life begins at conception, I was conceived in Dallas. I was born in New Jersey. I lived there, I'm sure you can tell from the accent, exactly four months. I grew up in the state of Georgia and went to school at the University of Georgia, then went to Columbia International University, which was formerly Columbia Bible Colleges. People love to go to that Wikipedia and they read the thing that says he was born in New Jersey, but they missed the part where it says he grew up in Augusta, Georgia. I don't know if that makes it any better. You know, there's some fine folks in New Jersey. New Jersey has an interesting reputation there in the Garden State. Georgia does as well. I appreciate the fact, having grown up in Georgia, which by the way, is the largest state east of the Mississippi River. It is the Empire State of the South. A lot of industry in Georgia. A lot of the same attitude happens in Georgia that happens in Texas. So mm-hmm. They correlate very nicely. And I will say this about Georgia. Brian Kemp, the governor there, who I consider a friend, is making some right decisions. I haven't agreed with everything that Brian's done, but he's making some right decisions and basically saying, look, I'm going to let the counties determine this, but we need to unmask and we need to go back to work and we need to get some things done. Because he's truly embracing that idea of personal responsibility when it comes to this coronavirus. He's leading the charge in a big way and taking a lot mm-hmm. of the heat for it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So looking forward, I guess, not only to this November's election, but as we kind of look at what the state's going to look like in the next couple of years, what do you think is going to happen? Democrats really do think they have an opportunity even this year to take Texas. What say you?
They have a very good chance. My main goal right now is not about anything gubernatorial. It's about November of 2020. We have a lot of opportunity to make sure that seats are retained and seats are gained in the state house. I certainly want to see Republican brothers and sisters who are in those places, or at least people, if they're independent with conservative values, truly conservative. You know, I appreciate what Ted Cruz does, and he basically asking certain questions to see if a person is truly a conservative. And I want to see true conservatism come back here, not because I'm stuck in the past, not because I'm puritanical, not because I'm trying to maintain some kind of value system that's antiquated. I want to see people free. And that's what needs to happen, because we are headed towards something. Look, if you look at leftism and progressivism and you look at socialism, all of these things that have ever been tried in various parts of the world, look at the CHOP zone, CHAZ, whatever they were calling it there in mm-hmm. Seattle. They couldn't manage six city blocks for more than 2 weeks without a murder and various other forms of anarchy going on. So anywhere it's been tried, it's failed. And I don't want to see Texas go that route. So what I encourage people to do, don't let this thing stop you from going to the polls in November. Don't let anything stop you from going to the polls in November. Don't allow the rhetoric about mail-in ballots and all of these things happen. Go to the polls and vote for conservative candidates to be back in this House here in Texas. And support, you know, support. Speak out on these things, because this is a crucial time in our history as a nation, and especially as in Texas. If Texas goes blue, the entire nation is in for a rude awakening not very long from now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, last question. Where can folks who want to listen to your show, follow your campaign, where can they do that at?
Well, we're on Blaze TV, of course, and we are on Pluto TV every night at 6 p.m. At Channel 250. And then, of course, they can find it on my YouTube. Just search Chad Prather. It's there. I'm pretty outspoken. Things. I have that not so rare disease called foot in mouth. And so I'm constantly putting it in there, but people can check it out on the Chad Prather Show, where podcasts are offered, as well as every night, 6 p.m. Texas time, as I like to say, on YouTube. And of course, we put clips on Facebook. Go to watchchad.com or chadprather.com. And I like to say that's where all the fun stuff is. Pretty much every link is there.
Excellent. Well, thank you again so much for joining us this morning, Chad. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
And thank you to everybody for tuning in. Remember, you can follow our coverage of all things political, statewide, and local at TexasScorecard.com. And please join us on Friday at 11 a.m. for our Friday roundup. That's all for this broadcast. Thank you again. Have a great day.